We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's your True Faith Newcastle United podcast. Newcastle have won again, this time 2-0 at already relegated Fulham on the final day of the season to give us a majestic 12th place finish in the Premier League, 17 points clear of Fulham in the relegation zone. And it has been one hell of a turnaround since, well, the pretty much the whole part of the season, January to March, was horrific. But since then, and since the defeat in Brighton in particular, I just read there on Twitter from a tweet from Mark Douglas that only five teams in the league have picked up more points than Newcastle, which is quite the turnaround. So Newcastle have won again. The relegated sides of the Premier League put to the sword by us at the end of the season. And Si, I'll start with you. 12th place, 45 points. Steve Bruce can probably hold his head up fairly high. What do you think?
Well, he will. In his head, it's like the best it could ever have been. And it's as good as we should be. Obviously, for us, it's not quite that simple. I mean, yes, he will hold his head high, and to be fair. For someone who was a dead man walking, as far as any of us were concerned, after that Brighton game, we literally thought he's just got to go and there's no way that any manager comes back from that, and somehow he has. So yes, his head will be high, he'll be enjoying this, and he'll be almost certainly referencing the 45 points and the fact that it's matched Benitez's season 2 years ago. I saw a good tweet from Steve Warwick just there, like, £100 million in 2 years to get back to where we were, just to get back where I started. Yeah, it's not progress. It's just we've done it again. We've survived. And to Bruce, that's enough. I think he genuinely thought, he was probably very worried that he wasn't even going to do that. And the fact that he has, he'd be pleased with that. Some of those players would be pleased that they've turned it around, because I bet a lot of them were also very terrified of where the season was going. And for that, we've got to kind of hold our hands up, because we all thought it was over. We thought relegation was happening. And to be fair, watching Fulham today, what were we scared? How did we ever think they were catching us? And I know at one point they got to within 3 points and we were just didn't look like winning again, but still, like, they were rubbish. We're so much better than Fulham and so much better than Sheffield United. If there's one thing that the last two games have shown, that we haven't played particularly well either today or on Wednesday, and yet we've just kind of won easily against these sides. Like, we should never have been in a relegation battle, and I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means that this is still a massive underachievement, or if actually we've just got to kind of hold hands up and say, right, 12th with some injuries, he gets another go. I don't know how to feel anymore.
Well, we're going to do a full end of season podcast later in, or next week, where we'll probably get into these questions a little bit deeper. We can talk a bit about it now. Ben, what I want to ask you is, this game is probably a perfect example. I couldn't tell you what Newcastle are good at. I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't tell you what they're good at. But we've won again. We've won away from home again. We've kept another clean sheet. The last, in fact, who did we play before Leicester? It was Arsenal, wasn't it? I'm not sure. The games come so quickly these days. But anyway, you know, you've got that West Ham performance in there. You've got Leicester, definitely. You've got the good kind of last 20 minutes at Liverpool. We've won two games now without really looking like we're going to concede a goal. How are there only 11 teams better than Newcastle in the whole of England? How has it happened, and what are we actually good at?
It is mental, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to put your finger on it. Like, as you say, it's not a clear and obvious plan. It doesn't look like it doesn't look like really much has changed in terms of what they're asking the players to do from the horrific run we're on. The difference is we've got the players back fit that we needed. So obviously Maximan coming back in has completely turned our season around, because we've actually got an attacking threat now. We've got a player that can, that teams worry about, that he can carry the ball from anywhere and beat any number of players and carry a threat, which we just didn't have when he wasn't in the team. Almiron's good at certain things, but that's he doesn't have that ability. Obviously, when you're playing like Joe Linton, kind of up front with Richie. I mean, do you remember I can't remember the game, but where Richie and Joe Linton played as split strikers. I think it was one of the defeats sort of around Christmas, but it's just so far from that. So I suppose the point is Bruce will have always said, just stay in games and just don't lose your head and stay around. And it's just about sort of taking your chances really and being clinical. And you've got to give them credit. They have been, like, as you say, we've won this game comfortably today 2-0. And as I said, how, like, Fulham didn't get anywhere near. I mean, they've missed two glorious chances. Like, that game could have easily been 2s each, but the matter of the fact is we've won it comfortably 2-0 without really getting, it didn't look like Newcastle got out of first gear. I mean, what do we do well? I think defensively we do look a bit more solid. I think Fernandes has been class for this season. Like, he's a mainstay in the team, and has had to be, like, obviously, especially with all the injuries we've had, and obviously Lascelles and Clark's sort of injury issues and Shaw and all the rest of them. Like, Fernandes has been a huge sort of calming influence within that team. I think Dubravka's growing as he's come back into the team, and kind of his form's improved and has definitely helped settle. I mean, when you think about, we've played a back three here of Kraft, Fernandes and Dummett, like, you wouldn't say that's anywhere nearing Newcastle's sort of best back three yet. They've done a job today. Obviously, Kraft struggled a little bit, but they've been solid enough. And then I think the emergence of Richie coming back into the team and Murphy in on the right has kind of given us a bit of an outlet on the sort of the wide wings. And it's actually made, I know we were all really critical of that back five, but actually with Murphy and Richie in that back five as the sort of pushing attacking wing backs, at least they can carry the ball out and provide a bit of sort of a bit of respite, I guess, to allow us to get up the pitch, because Murphy can carry the ball. Richie's got great delivery on him, and it just alleviates a bit of the pressure. Whereas when you had Kraft and Jamal Lewis playing in those roles, you just didn't get that sort of respite.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's found a back five that works, and he's found a formation that reasonably well works. I mean, again, I agree with you, Doddy. I don't really know what we excelled at today that made that game look so comfortable. Because, and you're right, Ben, I think today and Wednesday, better sides beat us. They were two really bad, already relegated, devoid of confidence teams. And Fulham in particular there, they had far more chances than they probably should have had and just had zero quality. So another team at 1-0 probably finds an equaliser and we don't win the game and then we don't finish 12. You know, it's fine margins this season, but I think the last three or four games really have felt like absolute exhibition matches. Dead rubbers. Even the Man City game, like, they just put out a gag team. Well, not a gag team, obviously still much, much better than our team, but loads of players who'd barely kicked a ball all season. And it played out like a friendly, just like a high-scoring kind of non-structured game of football. And then these two last ones have been just two teams that just look like they're done, ready for a break. And Fulham didn't look like anything. They were just so poor today. So I think what we've found Bruce to be quite good at is just getting the job done against the rubbish teams. That's all he can do. We don't get many points off top half teams. We've beat Fulham. We've got 4 points off Fulham, 6 points off Chef U. No, three off Chef U, but 6 points off West Brom, 4. Burnley, you know, the teams down there, we've done jobs against them and got the points we needed for the season. There's been nothing else this season to get excited about, which is why, I mean, you'll know my views on it all, but it's not an achievement. We haven't achieved anything this season apart from embarrassing ourselves in the FA Cup, the League Cup quarterfinal, and just 12th doesn't feel like it does what we've been through this year justice. It's really strange, but yeah, I don't want to see Bruce coming out and talking up the job he's done, or anyone else for that matter talking up the job he's done. It's par, absolute par, which I thought wasn't even achievable, but it's nothing really has been achieved this season. And these last two games against relegated sides where we've just scraped 6 points to finish the season reasonably respectably, doesn't really change anything for me in terms of what we are as a club and where it might be going. We said before these last three games that Newcastle had to turn in some really good performances and look like it was going in a particular direction, and it's weird to be able to say I don't think we've done that when we've won two of the games. So maybe I'm being harsh, but I'm just not convinced that come August Newcastle will be any different to what we were the last 2 years.
Yeah, and I do want to get back onto the game, but I think you're right. Come August, you know, well done, Newcastle. Well done, Steve Bruce. Well done, the players. Great end of the season. It looked like disaster. As it turns out, even though we did manage to, turn the performances to an extent, and definitely the results round, wouldn't have mattered. Fulham, I think this season is the lowest ever points you would have needed in Premier League history to survive. It's just been a weird season. I think it's been a dreadful season as a fan. It's been a weird season. Results, the lack of home advantage for all teams nearly, the fact that the three teams at the bottom have been so far below the rest of the league, the fact that so many teams have been much of a muchness. And, you know, you mentioned there, Si, about beating these last two teams without really putting in performances. Again, you know, Fulham dominated possession today. Fulham created probably more chances than us. But we've won the game comfortably. I don't think any of the questions about Newcastle United as a side long term have been answered in the last few weeks. Or, you know, will there be any more season ticket holders in James's Park next season because of the good end of the season? I can't say it myself. However, like you say, I think the season has achieved the minimum. We're treading water. We're standing still. One thing I'll say for Steve Bruce, and it's easy to forget this, he works for a bloke who doesn't want to be his boss anymore. He works for a bloke who doesn't want anything to do with the football club anymore. He works for a bloke who, if he wins his legal cases against the Premier League, will happily pass on his company to someone who will sack him. And that has got to be a fairly destabilising situation. But it is what it is. Like, you know, he's known that for a long time. He should have known what he was getting into bed with in terms of Newcastle United. Honestly, I don't mean to reduce Steve or his coach's ability here, but you could argue Joe Willock, one of the most important signings in Newcastle history, in terms of his impact. Because if he doesn't score these seven goals, no one else scoring them. Sean Longstaff's not scoring them. Jeff Hendrick's not scoring them. John Joan's scoring them. and then you're through the midfielders. So to talk about him for a second, I mean, seven goals in seven games in a row for Newcastle. Remarkable. I don't know if he equaled Alan Shearer's record today. Has he potentially? Is it one more to equal it? But that in itself, I mean, and it's that, you know, what's Willock had today? One shot and one goal. It's that kind of quality and that kind of ruthlessness that's just, it's not us. Do you know what I mean? You saw Dwight Gale in the second half comes on. We haven't even talked about the fact we don't even play a striker today, which is bizarre. But we've won the game 2-0, and that seems to be the way things are going at the minute. But I just think Willock's just so important to the team that if we are to start next season without him in the team, even if you go away and spend 15, 80 million quid on another central midfielder, there's almost this kind of expectation that Willock, even if he doesn't score, will make something happen. And 8 goals in a loan spell, it's got to be one of the best decisions to loan a player or even bring in a player for another club in the January transfer window in Premier League history. Like, I don't even have any comparisons, really. Papis Cisse, but he was a striker, so he's supposed to score goals. Joe Willock's come into a team that doesn't really have any shots, doesn't have any of the ball, and has scored 7 goals in 7 games. It's just, I have no words. Go to Ben.
He was kind of perfect for that sort of spearhead of the midfielder that kind of Bruce is looking out for. And obviously, I mean, we were all calling that Almiron should have been playing that role for a lot of the season. But Willock, as it's pronounced, is the one that's kind of come in and shown. I think he's just, you can tell he's just a quality player. He's composed when he gets his opportunities, and he's taking the goals ridiculously well. And as you say, he's just been clinical, and that's, I suppose that's where you would say Almiron isn't. He's not assured when he gets into those goal scoring chances. That's kind of his main sort of weakness, I would say, is his lack of productivity in terms of the goals output. Whereas Willock's unbelievable. Just every chance he's had, he's taken. And as you say, that's been huge. I mean, yeah, part of it, I suppose, is a bit of fortune in that he wasn't even starting. Like, he was coming off the bench late in games and grabbing these goals. I mean, that Spurs one obviously was a huge goal to score. But he's fought his way in, and I suppose credit to Bruce has brought him in and kind of found a role for him that's worked and it's carried on. And as you say, it's just, I mean, his goal today, he runs from a very deep position, just carries the ball, don't know what Fulham are doing, just let him go on and on. But as you say, he gets into that danger zone and scores, and we've not had anybody like that. And as you say, that's why he's so important to Newcastle, because we do not have another midfielder in the team. They're all pretty defensive players. Like, the rest of the midfield in Newcastle are all defensive minded players, and as a result of that, we often find ourselves pinned back deep without any sort of outlets. And I suppose, again, to the point I was making about Richie and Murphy being outlets, you've also got a midfield that'll get beyond the ball and give us another presence up top to try and support. So, yeah, he's a huge, huge part. And if he doesn't come and he doesn't want to come back, or Arsenal won't let him, that's got to be kind of Bruce's, one of his main targets this summer, is find somebody that can come in and replicate that. Because if we don't have that, again, you're going back to the team we were before March, where the goal's going to come from.
Yeah, I mean, before Willock arrived, we bemoaned the just lack of mobility in the midfield. And that was, to be fair, Shelvey and Hendrick was just so terrible to watch for such large parts of the season. And this has made me reflect on Isaac Hayden, who we've all, you know, raved about for several years, but he is a limited player. He's got the engine and the athleticism of Willock without really offering anything to us going forward, and that's stifled us so much, is that Hayden does all the running for Shelvey and sometimes Hendrick, but he doesn't offer us what Willock has, he's got the same engine, but such a threat. I mean, today, for his goal, he runs 50 yards and Fulham just look terrified of him. No one wants to go near him. And then when they do go to tackle him, they just bollocks it up and it just drops back for him. Like, that doesn't happen against a player that you're comfortable playing against. That sort of thing happens when they're nervous and they're not sure what to do about him. And that's just, that shows you what you've got in him. I would compare him to Gini Wijnaldum from the Steve McClaren season, in terms of a midfielder who just basically is, without him in the team, we would have had literally zero attacking threat, or at least it would have felt like that for large parts of the season. I mean, obviously Wilson found some form again, but without him these last two games, it's been Willock's been our only outlet and our only real, the only player that looked like scoring. So yes, it's a massive signing just for this season, but it would be an even bigger one to get him to stay or to get him back next year. It's very hard to see it happening because of how good he's been now, and he will not be short of offers. And I've said it loads of times now, what's in it for him to spend another year at Steve Bruce in Newcastle? I just don't see what he gets out of that. But you just never know. Football is strange, and one local journalist seems very confident it'll happen, and that Bruce should be given all the praise for this deal and for the loan itself. Apparently it was heavily pushed by Bruce. No one else says that, but I suppose we can believe him.
You've got to give credit where it's due. Listen, I think Newcastle are still a relatively poor side. Like I said, I don't really know what we're good at. I think the season's been mostly dreadful. I think the teams we've finished above have been mostly dreadful. I think next season you'll see a bit of a reset playing in front of fans again. You know, look at a club like Wolves, and I'm not suggesting Newcastle do the same thing. Newcastle have just finished above Wolves. Wolves' response is, we're going to sort a manager. And I'm not saying that was the right thing to do. I don't know enough about Wolves, but I know they're not sat in, they're definitely not sat in St James's Park because they're Wolves. But they're not sat there, that, you know, patting themselves in the back for 45 points in 12th place. Like, I get the feeling, like, I have the suspicion that the people who run Newcastle are. What I'll say about Willock, though, quickly is, the fact that he even picks the ball up, he picks the ball up there in his own half with two Fulham players around him, and he thinks, I'm going to run at Fulham's goal. One of you's just said it. The rest of the squad almost apart from Anderson, Maximan and Callum Wilson, check back, pass the ball backwards, pass the ball sideways, get rid of it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and you've already started to see that with one of Willock's interviews. He's talking about, we don't want to be near the bottom, we don't want to be fighting relegation. Alan St-Maximin has said it publicly, then followed up on social media, we don't want to be fighting relegation, we need to sign Joe Willock. I think there's an acceptance from the players there that this season hasn't been good enough. Do you know what I mean? There's an acceptance there. And this is going to be the great debate probably over the summer. There'll be a lot of people who feel vindicated with the backing of the manager. There'll some people who feel that, well, you know, this is nothing to celebrate. It's still below, you know, the expectation of the season was to have a proper cup run, have a go at the cups and finish in the top 10. We didn't come close to either of those things. I discount the run in the Carling Cup, whatever it's called these days, because we played lower league opposition and were very bad in quite a few of those games as well. But what you will see is you will find out a lot about Steve Bruce's future and about Newcastle United in the attempts to sign Willock. Because it's one thing to just hire Biddin and say, oh, they'll turn it down. That's not genuinely properly trying to sign the player and convince the player. I mean, just because you get a bid accepted from Arsenal, which is far from guaranteed, convincing the player to move is a totally different story. Do you break your wage structure? Do you pay more than Anderson Maximan, which he probably will want to be paid? You know, is he on twice as much money as someone, you know, whoever else they bring in? These are all difficult questions, as well as the players who are out of contract in the summer, the fact that Newcastle have started a game today in the Premier League without a striker again. It's not a good thing. Do you know what I'm saying? I'll go to Si first, Ben, because he put the hand up.
Yeah, that is a worry, and it also reminds you that we've got some money to spend elsewhere, which is a problem with Willock basically being probably our whole transfer budget needs to be hoisted him to get him. I wanted to speak about what you said about Willock and Maximan and other players' attitude towards the season they've had, and I agree that they come across as players who know that this was poor by their standards, and that kind of, it puts to bed any idea that this Newcastle squad isn't capable of better, and that this whole idea that they're a bottom half team. I think there's enough players in there that think of themselves as top half players and believe that this wasn't good enough and that they can do better, and that if Newcastle aren't going to do any better than this, then they'll all see their future away from Newcastle, and that includes Willock. So you're right, it's not just about the wage side of things, and he will. Obviously, a young English player with the potential he's got and the season he's just had, he can pretty much put, you know, they should be putting a blank check in front of him. He can put any number down he wants. And that is difficult because we can't do that. But I think it's just as important to sell some sort of ambition to him. Like, right, if you come to Newcastle, we're really going to look to build a team around you and try and push into that top eight, that top half the table, and look to win some trophies or at least have a good go. If you sell to him, well, yeah, we're just going to look to consolidate and see if we can get 46 points next season, then what the hell is he? Why does he want to come? And more importantly, why does the likes of Maximan want to stay? Like, he's in high stock because of the half season he's had. So if his agent starts getting wind of offers from clubs who actually do stuff, what's keeping him here? So it's very important that not just the finances are looked at, but they need to look at, right, what are we trying to aim and what are we selling to our players to keep this squad together, because there is a good squad there and Bruce is lucky to have that. And if he doesn't find a way to offer these players a reason to stick around, it's just going to fall apart. And the inevitable will eventually happen when he has to start buying rubbish players, and because there won't always be a Maximan out there. There won't always be a Willock available on loan. There won't always be a Callum Wilson from a relegated team. You know, we've been quite fortunate with some of these players being available at the right time, and that can't go on. And none of the above will stick around in Newcastle another year if this happens again.
Just on a couple of points made there, I mean, the key thing that you're talking about there is the ambition. So we've got some ambitious players. Our best players are the ambitious ones. It's interesting that they managed to sell enough of whatever the ambitions were to Wilson for him to choose to come to Newcastle. I'm sure there'd have been plenty of other... Yeah, there'd have been plenty of other Premier League sides that were in for him, and they managed to sell whatever the vision was to him for him to come and sign. Likewise with Maximan, obviously kind of a bit more of an unknown quantity, but again, came over from France as a class player, so there must have been other teams that were aware of him and what he's done, and this probably isn't a massive surprise. Again, Willock has been at Arsenal for a number of years. Like, they've kept him around long enough for a reason. They obviously rate him. And again, we managed to sell him enough of a story. And the interesting thing is that you're talking about sort of, it's interesting that Willock's to us is a mainstay, but again, I come back to it. He wasn't a shoe-in for Bruce at a point in this season. Like, and that's the little bit of a concern I have, is that how did Bruce not see earlier that he is a must for this team? And do you know what? Like, you can look at it two ways. I know we've all been very critical of Bruce, so I'll give him a bit of credit in that eventually he's found all the right players in the right places. And I've just given credit for Richie coming back in, playing on the left, has revolutionised the team. Finding Murphy to play in the right wing-back role has been huge, and Willock's been the key really to turn things around. And it's been mental at times when, as you say, we haven't played with a striker for a lot of games. Even when we've meant to have had a striker in Joe Linton, he's kind of not played as a sort of vocal striker or traditional striker, and it's been a really bizarre sort of system. But do you know what I mean? And it didn't work for a long time, but he's found the pieces eventually to work in this system. So you've got to give him credit for that. I think the interesting thing is, obviously we all know the big thing, and he's talking about for next season, and it comes back to what you said before, Doddy, about that he's working for an employer that doesn't really want to be here, doesn't want him in, and that's where the ambition has kind of plateaued, because the owners of the club have no ambition whatsoever. And do you know what? Okay, Bruce's remit was clearly just to keep us in the Premier League, and he obviously kind of got plucked out of sort of nowhere in the Championship and got given this opportunity and was told that's your remit to do. And you've got to give them credit that he's overachieved. I know it's not what we want, but he will have overachieved what they've done. So the club are going to be delighted what he's done. And do you know what? You can see from the players as well, like the attitudes in the players has completely changed in this run. And obviously, of course it does. When you're playing well and you're winning games, the confidence is there. Things are going to get better. But that group looked like it was falling apart. Obviously, the whole fiasco with Darlow, obviously the journalists sort of reporting things that were coming out of the club, sort of things getting out. Like, that's all been put to bed somehow. And again, you've got to give Bruce some credit. The thing with Richie, where he fell out with him, he's turned that around. And obviously, they've got a working relationship now, where that looked like that was... I mean, imagine he hadn't have sorted things out with Richie, and Richie didn't come into this team, and you don't get the goals, some of the goals that he's created and things. So he looks like at least he's kind of a strong enough character to realise he's got things wrong, and he's put like any sort of personal vendettas or whatever aside, and he's managed to repair some fractious relationships. So I'll give him a bit of credit for that. But the key is that, yeah, like really, for Newcastle to do anything more than what we've done this season, we need that ambition throughout the whole club. And it starts with the owner. He needs to sell the club this summer. I don't care who it's to, really. Well, I do, but what I mean is that if Ashley's still there next year, then it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't really matter what's happening, because the ambition's not going to be there from them. And we're talking about saying or giving a blank check to Willock. Then they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. So we can dream about it. And his value's only going to have gone up in this run because he's been so good. Arsenal aren't going to give him away for cheap, are they? So it's the problem is that there's a lot of things that are outside of Steve Bruce's control. But like, as much as it's like, as you say, it's weird thing to kind of, you can't pinpoint exactly what we've improved in, but you have to say he's done enough to warrant, like, especially with this owner, like they're going to give him another year. There's no reason for them not to. He's kind of turned things around and proved that he can keep a stable club. And do you know what? And I know all the sort of pro-Bruce people will point and say, again, he's matched what we've done for the last 3 years. It's been unconventional in a completely different way. And we as fans don't particularly like it, but the reality is they've matched what they've done for the last 4 years. So, like, I mean, it just shows, what does anybody know about football? It's mental.
Yeah, all really good points there. And, you know, I do want to talk a lot more in detail about this kind of stuff on the end of season show we're going to do. And we are keeping Patreon going throughout the summer. We're going to have full review of the season, transfer shows, looking ahead to next season as well. We're going to cover the European Championships too. So if you like the podcast that we do, come and join. With £5.50 a month for lots of extra podcasts. But, you know, one, and I've not heard Bruce speak after the match, so maybe he's referenced this, I don't know. But one positive from today again, and I have to say, I thought the opposition on Wednesday in the opposition today are not Premier League quality, not Premier League standard. So it's impossible to kind of learn things from that. However, I thought in both games, well, Wednesday, Saint-Maximin had a decent game because he creates the goal, basically. Today, I thought he was way off it again. Callum Wilson doesn't play today. Jamal Lascelles doesn't play in these games. Isaac Hayden doesn't play in these games. You know, there's four players there. If you gratuitously grant me Saint-Maximin as being injured, even though he played, but not having his usual performances, it's kind of proved that this team can grind out wins and win games without those four players in. That's the complete opposite of Bruce basically, you know, tossing off the season if he doesn't have his best players. So it's interesting from that perspective, but I don't know whether you lads want to say anything else, but I think we'll leave it for the kind of big post-season podcast we'll have coming out this week. It was a good win for Newcastle today, winning away from home in the Premier League. Doesn't matter who it's against. You know, we went to Fulham in 2013, I think, when they were already relegated and got beat 1-0 under Pardew.
I think we've got to talk about the pen and the fact that Fabian Scher out of nowhere comes up to take the pen, because none of us saw that coming. I mean, I said the only way this is possible is that the lads have had a pen comp in training and the winner gets to take the penalty. But what a cool finish, just rolls it in, or trickles it in, as the commentator said. And yes, that goal literally is what puts us 12th, by the way, because at 1-0, Wolves were still above us on goal difference. So mad that at that point, we did not look like the team that were going to score the second goal in that game. I think Fulham had most of the ball. I mean, yeah, they were poor, really poor quality, but they had loads of the ball. And if they had anyone who could shoot properly or cross properly or do any kind of damage to us, they would have scored. But yeah, instead, Scher comes on. I don't know what position he was playing. He seemed to just have a free roll anywhere he wanted. He was making bombing runs forward for no good reason. And yeah, he gets the pen. And I don't know. I think we were trying to work out as he got his new contract yet. It hasn't been announced, but it was almost like a send-off, but I'm hoping he stays because he's a good player and is much better than Kraft. And if he's fit, he should surely be the third of that back three. It's hard to take Fernandes or Dummett out there at the minute, but yeah, if that's how we start next season defensively, you'd think it sorts out half the problem for Bruce, is that we were just leaking loads of goals earlier in the season. So if they can stay as our kind of mainstay defence, I mean, yeah, it's how do you fit Lascelles back in there? But I wouldn't at the minute, because those players are better at football. And now that Shelby's such a good captain, okay. I don't think Lascelles is as important, but maybe I'm wrong there. I don't know. The leadership at the back is always something we've worried about when Lascelles isn't available. But I think we've finally looked to have solved that problem because of the likes of Richie, Dummett, the more senior players coming back in and giving that leadership some balance across the team, which was one of the other good things I could say about the recent turnaround. It's been a lot more down to kind of the character of the players that he's finally chosen to select at the same time.
Yeah, and I think quickly on that back three, you know, I have serious issues with a lot of Bruce's team selections and tactics this season, but what I hope he has learned, and I think that the selection of the last few games proves that, because Emile Kraft isn't one of Newcastle's three best centre-backs, even with Lascelles and Sean on the team. He's still not better than Kieran Clarke. But what Bruce has learned is, if Fernandes is going to play, he has to be in direct opposition with Jamal Lascelles for the middle of that back three. They can't play, neither of them can play either side. He's got to play in the middle. It's got to be Paul Dummett or Kieran Clarke on the left side, and it's going to have to be Kraft or Scher on the right side. I kind of feel like Bruce has accepted that now. And that's, we haven't seen enough of that this season. You've seen players play numerous positions. You've seen, you know, Joe Linton played everywhere. Miguel Almiron, you know, social media's getting into Miguel Almiron a little bit. I still think I'll start criticising Almiron when I see him playing behind the striker at number 10 for four or five games, which just doesn't happen. Until that point, I'm not going to have a go at the bloke for playing in centre midfield when he's just not a centre midfielder. Yes, his final ball's not good enough. Yes, he gives the ball away. He's not a fucking centre midfielder. He's in the team basically to do Jonjo Shelvey's pressing. Like, and press play. Like, today, he started up front. Again, it's just like, how do you get yourself in a position where one of your most expensive attacking players is both played as a striker, a number 10, and a centre midfielder in the same game? Like, it just doesn't happen at other clubs. But here we are. I think we'll leave it for today. Good win for Newcastle. Really positive, strong end of the season. Whether it's enough to take Newcastle on to anything other than treading water to be sold That's another question, but we'll leave that question maybe for Patreon over the summer, and we're post-season podcast that we'll bring out at some point this week, Tuesday or Wednesday, not sure. So lads, Ben, Si, thanks for your time. Thanks everyone for listening. Hope you enjoy the win, and speak to you all through the week very soon. Cheers.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.